Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Freaking First Cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your DFS preview for this week's Butterfield Bermuda Championship. Joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. Greg, we've made it, the one we've had circled on our calendars all year long.
The Butterfield Bermuda Championship is here. This is actually a really cool event. It doesn't always draw the greatest field. It's the middle of fall, the middle of football season. We know that. We know what it means. But it is a really cool venue. You get some great views, and it could turn out to be a really cool event. So I do like this tournament. It's a difficult one to handicap. It can be a challenging one to predict. But there are a lot of reasons for that, which we can dive into here shortly.
Yeah, and we've learned a lot about Butterfield and Bermuda in recent years. Like, I'm pretty sure Butterfield is a bank. We've determined that before.
I believe so. That might have been 2 years ago we discovered that.
Yes.
That we learned that. Also, we know Bermuda is part of the triangle,
and they use it in the logo and the trophy, which is elite.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic trophy. And I haven't been to Bermuda, but I've heard it is a phenomenal vacation spot.
I believe it's a phenomenal golf destination. I've not been there either, but there are something like 8 or 9 golf courses on the island. But because of how small the island is, it's like the largest concentration of golf courses in the world.
The two I know of are this one, Port Royal,
and
Mid Ocean, which are both spectacular, phenomenal views, really cool short island golf course. Very cool.
Well, this course also had to be basically like retrofitted for the PGA Tour. Like 15 years ago, they came through and they did everything they could, Greg. But if you look at it on paper, it might be a little bit jarring. Here's the scorecard: 6,828 yards, par 71. That is quite short by PGA Tour standards.
Yes. Why is it so short? Well, one of the things that jumps out to me is the length of the par threes. Okay, so the par fours are all under 460 yards, and the par threes are pretty much all over 200 yards.
Yeah.
You have one short one, number three, 148.
But eight is 213, 13 is 235, and 16 is 235 as well.
So those are big par threes. And when you're looking at design on a small piece of property, par threes are a great place to add some long irons into the game. But other than that, and the par fives become mid to long irons into the greens as well, as the longest. The longest par five is number two, 553. So other than that, you're talking about a lot of wedges into greens. But when it comes to design, you make up a lot of ground with par threes. Longer par three doesn't take up as much space. That's where you get your long irons mixed in there. And they can definitely provide a challenge, especially in the wind.
The wind. So good call there. Something to keep an eye on. It is, you know, we're live on Monday afternoon. It looks like Saturday and Sunday could get a little windy. Obviously, that could change. It also looks like there could be a wave advantage. Greg, we'll see as we get closer here. But that is really that's one of my favorite parts about this event is, yes, it can be short on paper, but if we can get those 20, 25 mile an hour winds, it's like all bets are off.
Yeah, you better have control of your golf ball, even with wedges. You know, short golf courses in the wind are really fun. And they're fun to watch because good shots are rewarded, but the shots that are just a little bit offline are penalized in sometimes some dramatic ways. So that's really cool to watch. You know, the other thing is with this distance, it doesn't really benefit long hitters. It doesn't really benefit short hitters, right? Those things are kind of wide open as far as style is concerned. The one thing I will say is when you're hitting driver, spin rates tend to go down and you want to keep your spin rates down in the wind. And so it can give a little bit of an advantage to shorter hitters where you're hitting driver and longer hitters are through it. You're trying to hit it to the same place. So that can be a kind of quasi advantage.
Not to get off on a nerdy tangent, but with higher spin rates, that is more impacted by the wind. Because why? Because the wind can just keep it spinning faster in a direction you don't want it to go in.
Yeah, it's exactly right. If you end up with a little bit of side spin on it, it will affect it even more. So the shot with low spin bores through the wind, where the shot with a little higher spin tends to ride up on the wind a little bit more. I can't get so technical, Rick, to explain that to you in detail.
That's okay. You've done enough.
Yes. But let's just say science and aerodynamics. We'll leave it at that.
One thing before we jump into the names of this week, I wanted to throw out the four champions that we've had here. Brendan Todd, Brian Gay, Lucas Herbert, Seamus Power. Is there a through line there, Greg, between those guys?
Well, Seamus Power may be the exception, but great putters.
Yeah.
Right. Herbert, Gay, and Todd are phenomenal putters.
Like all-time putters.
Yes. Yeah. For their careers.
Right.
Seamus has been a very good putter.
Yeah. He goes through stretches.
Right. But he's not a, you know, legendary. I mean, Brian Gay is a legendary putter. Brendan Todd is these guys are.
Yeah. And Lucas Herbert has been one of the best putters in the world for the last couple of years. We're not at a decade yet, but like, he's a very, very good putter.
That's how he keeps his card.
Yeah.
From the putting. So that would be the one through line. And in your stats here.
Yeah.
It's reflected.
Yeah, the model loves wedges and putting.
Wedges and putting. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's a lot of variants to that, or there's a lot of different ways to look at it. They've, you know, it's like short putts, long putts, scrambling and approaches from inside 125. But that's when you kind of put it all together. It likes those shots from inside 125 yards and guys that can roll it.
Yeah. So you don't want to play these guys in your member guest, because they'll tear you apart. But again, not a huge difference between great tee to green players and weaker tee to green players here. You can get away with a lot off the tee. Short and crooked can work here if you're good with your wedges and your putter. I mean, Aaron Baddeley is another guy that comes to mind. Last year played phenomenal. And although he has a wonderful golf swing, driving has been a big issue for him in his career. Iron play has been an issue, but with the wedges and putter, he's excelled through his entire career, and it was no different last year. He finished like sixth, I believe. So you know, he's another type of player that can do well here.
All right, well, we're gonna talk more names, and we're gonna go through the DraftKings pricing tier by tier. But first, we're gonna take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back. Here's the cheat sheet on my website, rickrungood.com. And Greg, there are four golfers over $10,000 this week. Adam Scott leads the way, making his debut in Bermuda, $10,700. Thomas Dietrich, $10,500. Brendan Todd, who we've already mentioned in the show, $10,300. And then an even $10,000 for Akshay Bhatia. Those are the big boys this week.
Yes. Kind of an interesting group up top. Mm-hmm. So Brendan Todd, first of all, is I'm a absolute yes on him. Right, his last start at the Fortinet was a sixth. He's won here. He's he has a win and a missed cut in his two starts here. But when Brendan Todd gets on golf courses where distance isn't a priority, mm-hmm. he is as reliable as they come. It's not every time, but he really starts to excel when wedges and putters are the test. That's his game, and I trust him in that sense. So you know,
I agree.
My top guy.
I tend to agree with you here. Him and Akshay are where I'm spending my money at the top. I mean, he is from 125 yards and in about as good as it gets on the PGA Tour. We already talked about the putter. He's got the history around this place. He's coming off of a good finish. Like, I'm not sure how much we need to overthink this. Brendan Todd seems to be a pretty viable option. He and Akshay are my kind of 1A, 1B. I don't really care what order you want to put them in.
Yeah. Akshay is such an interesting case.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more like I'm a glutton for punishment. So like I probably like Akshay more than I should, but I understand that he would make a lot of people queasy, I think.
Maybe that's exactly why you play him. Because, you know, there is a world where in 5 years, looking at this field, Akshay Bhatia is by far the best and most accomplished player. Adam Scott maybe give him a run for his money. But Akshay could be the class of a field like this.
That's an interesting way to look at it, right? Like a Victor Hovland when he won in Puerto Rico, or even like
right
now when he won in Puerto Rico. It's like these events are guys, some of the guys get their first wins here and then they like never come back to defend it because they never play it again.
Right. Because they're, you know, they're too busy with playing with the big boys, right? In these other events. I could see Akshay becoming that type of player. He's not there yet. He's got some work to do, but we've been talking about him all fall. He's like, if you're looking at a season long fantasy football player, Akshay is like an every week starter because he could just go nuts 1 week. And this is a good matchup to use their terminology.
Yeah, let's keep it going. I love that. I'll try to think of a couple more throughout. So I think we're both interested in Akshay and Brendan Todd at the bottom of the 10K range, but at the top of the board. You know, the other two, Adam Scott and Thomas Dietrich, are really interesting. You know, Dietrich has good history here, a 22nd and a runner-up finish. I just worry that he was playing a lot better leading into those years than he is now. He's not playing horribly right now, but it's just a lot of average or slightly above average golf all over the globe. I'm not sure I'm as convinced when you get a price tag this big that Dietrich can be the guy.
That's the issue. I mean, this play is fine. I have no issue with his play. He's made a lot of cuts. You know, he made every cut since the Rocket Mortgage mm-hmm. that he's played in. He's putted very well, which is a good sign. It's just kind of hard to put your finger on what Thomas Dietrich is. You know, what kind, like, how would you explain him? He's
like
everywhere, but
what does he do well?
I guess you could say in one sense, everything. But in the other sense, he doesn't necessarily have a strength, which is pretty clear with Brendan Todd, pretty clear with Akshay. Not so clear with Brent, with Dietrich. I'm fine with playing him. It's hard to say that he's my guy. It's hard to make a case for him. And I'm fine with Adam Scott as well. He's been playing some good golf. He's shown some really good stuff. Just his first time. It's his first time here. It doesn't seem like a great fit, although he's a pretty good wedge player. He makes a lot of birdies, which I like both of those things. Been putting really well. I like Adam Scott.
Why is he here?
I don't know. Maybe he likes to vacation here.
He's kind of been playing. I don't want to say he's been playing a lot because he hasn't, but he did play two European Tour events after the Tour Championship. He played the Zozo. He's playing here in Bermuda for the first time in his career. I don't know what his, maybe he's just trying to kind of stay sharp, stay active, stay competitive. I just don't know why he's here.
Gearing up for TGL?
Gearing up for the Boston Common?
Could be. Very well could be. I don't know. Maybe he just wants to pick off a win.
Don't we all?
He could just love the island. Maybe in the past it hasn't worked out in the schedule, and it did this year.
I like the idea. I like it living in a world where the only way Adam Scott can get to Bermuda is to play the Bermuda Championship. The only way he can find the time in the schedule and the funds to get there.
Well, these guys will say, I mean, you hear people talk about this stuff from time to time. I love this venue, or I love this tournament. It just hasn't worked out for me. I know he's never played here, so he can't tell you about the tournament, but
yeah.
I think he's in the Bahamas too. He's an island guy.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, you're right. It is also kind of, I kind of connect him to Dietrich a little bit more because we mentioned how much we like Todd. We mentioned how much we like Akshay. The idea of paying $10,500 for Thomas Dietrich when you could pay $10,700 for Adam Scott, who I think is just clearly the class of this field, it just makes it so awkward for Thomas Dietrich.
Yeah, it's hard to fit him in. If there's a huge ownership advantage, I'd be fine to play him. Yeah, but it doesn't feel right.
No,
Thomas Dietrich is my top guy.
Yeah, I mean, what we're trying to do on a Monday afternoon is, you know, we don't know what the projected ownership is going to look like over the course of the next couple of days. We don't know what the wind and the weather, tee times are not out yet. Like we're just trying to put the puzzle pieces in a general location right now on a Monday afternoon. And the Thomas Dietrich puzzle piece is like, is that even from this puzzle? Like, where is it? Was this in the back of the closet? Where did we find it?
And I don't think he's poorly priced. You know, I don't think this is like a mistake from DraftKings. I think it's reasonable that he's in the 10K range. I mean, could you switch him with Todd or Akshay? Sure. But it's reasonable that he's up here. It's just, it's hard to choose his name with these other three up here.
The 9K range offers some more options, obviously. Lucas Herbert, 98. Alex Noren, 96. Lucas Glover, right in the middle at 9,500. Ben Griffin, Luke List, Taylor Pendrith, and Doug Gim round out the 9K range, Greg. How would you like to allocate our funds here?
All right. Well, first, I think this is a good week for Lucas Glover. I think it's a really good spot for him.
I agree.
Now, last week, he got back into action for the first time. He's played here once before in 2022, was a tied 63rd. He's a completely different player this go around. And I like the fact that he played last week, if nothing more than just a warm up, get back into the groove of competition. So now playing for the second week in a row, he's very accurate off the tee, which doesn't necessarily matter, but he's a very good wedge player, a good wind player and wedge player. And he gives himself a ton of birdie looks, as many as anybody in this field, a ton of birdie looks inside of 15 feet. And I think that's going to be really important. So he will put his new putting style, if you still call it new. I mean, he's coming up on what, 8 months now using it. He's gonna put that to the test a lot this week, and I really like that.
I'm worried a little bit about the putter. You know, he has had the weeks where he's gone nuts and he's converted them into wins, and he's also had some weeks where he's just lost with the flat stick, and I mean losing strokes, not like that he is confused and completely lost, but
right.
It's kind of been a little bit of both. Now, when he putts well, he gets the most out of it. This is by far a better setup for him than last week was. Well, I mean,
yeah,
we talked about it. Cabo, what, 95% fairways being hit. That is Lucas Glover normally. That's not good when everybody else gets to hit that many fairways. And now you turn this into a wedge fest, and I had the stats up here. I mean, he is just completely dialed from most proximity buckets, but the short ones, the 125 and in, he just shreds.
He may be my favorite play. Maybe he and Todd are my two favorite plays in the whole field. Akshay, hoping that's contrarian. Hoping that's because that's an upside play. But I love the Lucas Glover play. I'm glad we agree on that. Rick, also on my list. Well, I got a guy with a question. I'm not going to go to him yet.
Okay.
I like going back to Taylor Pendrith as well.
Yeah.
We went to him last week. He was kind of in the core group. It seemed like a golf course that was a perfect fit for him. He ended up finishing tied 15th. I thought we were going to get better than that.
Well, I think, and I can pull this up. I'm pretty sure he was horrible on Thursday. And then like way bad, like really good the rest of the week.
I think that's right. I don't remember the scores.
I'll see if I can find
it. But I think that's right. While you're looking that up, here in Bermuda, he's played here once, 2021, and he came and tied fifth.
Yeah, he lost 2.5 strokes to the field on Thursday. Then he gained over three, over two the rest of the week. I mean, if you flip that, I mean, that's, he played himself out of it on Thursday, fought back, finished T15.
It's awesome. And I think Taylor Pendrith, with his iron play and approach game coming towards the end of this year, was, since, you know, the early part of July, was really quite good. And you don't really think that way with Taylor Pendrith. You think of length, but his iron play has been great. So I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, that's a good one. You mentioned that he finished fifth here 2022, which was, this is a weird one. That was 2 years ago. It was not last year's event. 2 years ago. Okay, so Pendrith is $9,100. Lucas Glover's in the middle at 95. The other one that I continue to be interested in is Ben Griffin. He finished third here last year, Greg. He had a runner-up in Jackson. He played well in Cabo, and he's just kind of like, I think we're just getting improvement from him pretty consistently, and I'm interested to see what he does in 2024, but I think this is a relatively good spot for him.
Yeah, you know what, my first instinct is, oh, this is not a great spot for Ben Griffin because he can spray it off the tee. But I think he kind of can. I don't know if that's a huge problem here. So I like the consistency and improvement. My initial take is I'm not in love with it, but I actually think upon further review that you can play Ben Griffin this week, and it may be a good start for him.
Who was the question mark guy?
Alex Noren.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I great putter. Always get him wrong. And, you know, he played really well at the Shriners, and the approach play, which seems like the key to his success. If he hits it well with his irons, he can contend. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't, it's going to be very middling. But I love what he does on the greens. And he seems like a guy who can handle the wind as well.
Yeah, basically the last four times that he's gained strokes on approach, he's finished T3, T13, T9, T12. If he doesn't, it's like you said, Greg, it's probably going to just be like an okay week, nothing special, because he's always a great putter. He can fill it up there. He caught my attention earlier as well. He's played here once. He played here in 2019. He finished 15th.
Yeah. I think it makes sense from a logical standpoint. Now, I like Glover a lot more, who's $100 cheaper than him. But I'm definitely open to Noren. How about one other guy?
Sure.
Doug Gim. What are your thoughts on Doug Gim?
He's been playing better. I also think that this is a golf course that is actually better for him than last week was. And he finished T15 last week. So you're getting these tangible gains. It's just, I think it's really going to be, can he make enough putts? Can he roll the rock enough to contend this week?
Yeah. It all comes down to that with him, mm-hmm. which I like that most weeks. You know, he's got two missed cuts here and a tied 14th. And you kind of get the sense that he putted well one of the three.
I can guess which one.
Yeah. So maybe it's a little too much of a dice roll, but I'm okay with Doug Gim too.
All right. We're going to continue this conversation going down to the eights, the sevens, and even those pesky little sixes. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back, the 8K range. Alex Smalley, Mark Hubbard, Nick Hardy, Ryan Palmer, Davis Riley, Stuart Sink, Dylan Wu, Brandon Wu, MJ Duffy, Vince Whaley. Two things here, Greg. Number one, Mackenzie Hughes withdrew just a bit ago, so I'll get him off the cheat sheet. We don't have to talk about him, and we don't need to play him. That's number one. Number two, I hate it. I hate this entire range. I don't like anybody. I want to send it into the center of the sun.
Wow. Okay. I'm not far off. I try to write down more names that we're going to get to. But I want to have some guys that I'm thinking about as I'm noodling on. In the 8K range, I wrote down two guys. So my initial list is much more generous. And if I bring them up, I'll let you talk me off of them and cross them out. And I got plenty more. Well, this one is extremely thin. The first name I wrote down was Mackenzie Hughes.
Yep. So he crossed his own name off of that list.
Okay. So he's out. Where else do we go? Realistically, probably nowhere.
There's just a problem or problems with all of them.
Talk to me about Vincent Whaley.
He's the one. So I think the two at the bottom, MJ Duffy, Vince Whaley, are good enough if you need it. So Vince Whaley has had, I was very high on him last week. He made the cut. It wasn't anything special, but he has had a very good fall. And even dating back to his last start in the Corn Ferry at the end of August, he's got five good starts in a row. And we don't have the strokes gain breakdown from the WWT championship, but he's been very well rounded this fall. So I was willing to give him one more chance, and I was willing to go to MJ Duffy, who's been it's ugly on the second shot. He drives it well, he can putt it well. The thing that he does is a lot on the fantasy scoring side, Greg. So he is so volatile with birdie, bogey, bogey, that he actually outpaces a lot of his finishing positions with fantasy points because he does it in that way. But I mean, my short list of golfers includes a guy who has missed four out of his last five cuts. Like it is obscene.
Yeah. The hard thing for me with him is the strength being the driving on a golf course where I don't really think driving is very important. That's just my one.
Yeah.
Challenge.
Yeah, no.
So I prefer to go to the other 8K guy who's been playing some really good golf. But it's just my preference. I'm right there with you. It's this range is,
yeah,
it'd be perfect for Mackenzie Hughes.
I mean, just kind of quickly. I mean, Alex Smalley has great history, but nothing recently. Hubbard on paper is good, but he has struggled as of late. Hughes is out. Nick Hardy hasn't been good since the win. Ryan Palmer's fifth place finish last week is like his first top 30 in 6 months. Davis Riley struggled. Stuart Sink has only done damage on the Champions Tour. Dylan Wu and Brandon Wu. I was a Dylan Wu truther and he's struggled. Like, I'm just, there's nothing here. There's nothing here.
Nope. Which probably means the winner's here somewhere.
For sure. The top five guys are in this range.
But I'm staying away I'm fine with Whaley. But I was looking through this, combing through, making my list. I'm saying, what are we going to do? What's the 7K range going to look like?
It's better than
Fortunately,
this.
It got better. It did get better. More playable guys.
Just to kind of talk about Alex Smalley here. I mean, he's gone through a lot of different phases already in his young career. He's got two very strong finishes here, a 12th and an 11th in the last 2 years. He is not the player that he was statistically kind of in the spring where he was on those ball striking gains. He's pretty far removed from that. The putter's always been a problem. I think he might be the class of this range just because I think he's a very talented golfer, but what we're getting from him right now is pretty useless, and it's useless on this golf course.
Yeah. I like his past results.
Yeah, of course.
You know, you can go on a golf course like this, that can really, it can be helpful.
Just pure course horse. Is it so unique? Is it so different enough that a guy can just show up and say, yeah, I've picked this place apart before?
It's really windy.
Yeah.
And kind of overrule some of your past tendencies. Because all of a sudden you got to play completely different shots. So it can, like, it can throw out the previous stats, if that makes sense. If it's not windy, well, you have a lot of wedges in. So can you get hot with your short iron swing for a week? Yeah, you can. I still don't love going that way. I know Patrick says in the chat, you know, everyone who's won here has kind of come in on pretty bad form. But that doesn't mean that you pick guys who are in bad form. You know, those are still outliers. But I do think the wind has something to do with it.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, you're making a point that like all these guys are capable of dialing their wedges in. They're professional golfers.
Yeah.
Right. So you kind of get into a situation where it's like, all right, just go, you know, large greens, take dead aim and see how hot you can get. I don't know, man. This range stinks.
Let's move on.
$7,000 range. Lonto Griffin and Peter Quest at the top, along with Kevin Yu, Troy Merritt. You get a couple of names like Cramer Hickok and Martin Laird in the middle of the 7K range. Then the bottom of the 7K range, you've got Brent Grant, Cameron Percy, Hank Lebioda, Jimmy Walker, amongst others. There are some much more viable options, in my opinion, here in this range.
Yes. You have Adam Long. Or as Patrick says, Adam Accurate.
Hasn't missed a fairway in a while.
Hasn't missed a fairway in a while. And that's not part of the analysis here. But, you know, three straight top 35 finishes. Granted, two of them were T35s. It's been kind of pale for a while. maybe the pale play of the week.
Oh, boy.
Which we haven't had in a while. I like that for Adam Long. On a golf course like this, he has one start here. It's a T44, not really a big deal, but seems to be doing everything okay, and hasn't quite excelled in anything except last week hitting all the fairways. Although that wasn't even really an impressive thing,
it really wasn't.
He was the only one to do it.
There were other guys who did it for a round at a time. It wasn't even that impressive.
The field average is 94%.
I'm kind of surprised there wasn't somebody else who did it, too.
Yeah, right. There were a couple guys who hit 55 out of 56. But anyway, my point is, I like the way he played last week because of the T23. it is probably a sign he's swinging all right. But there are other signs as well beyond just that. So he made my list. You know, another one I'm kind of interested in, Rick, is and he's coming off of two missed cuts.
Perfect.
Marty Doe.
Okay.
I really like that. I really like what he's done with his iron play. He makes a lot of birdies.
Ton of birdies.
Which I love. And I'm very interested, even though he's missed his last two cuts. T17 and his one start here. I think it's a good spot for him.
There are a couple of guys that have my attention here. So I've made the case for Harry Hall some weeks. I think this is statistically. So there's like two spots that I think I'm comfortable playing Harry Hall. One is TPC Summerlin, where I know he knows the place and he's out there all the time and all that fun stuff. The statistical place is here. The only thing that Harry Hall does on the PGA Tour that separates himself from the rest of the field, he only does two things: wedges,
putting,
and putting. There's the only two ways that on a regular basis he beats the field, and those are the two things that I think are most important this week. So,
yeah,
Harry's the most.
All right, I get it. You know, this is the hard thing about these kind of weeks, because a guy that leans on wedges and putting, we don't like. You know, it's kind of not fun to play. If you're watching on YouTube right now, this page on rickrungood.com for Harry Hall does not look good.
No, it doesn't. I wish it was the pale play of the week.
It's not pale. It's not pale. So I totally get it. It's just you might have to get uncomfortable.
I have this one for you too. The optimal lineup last week, the best possible lineup that you could have built. So it was Eric Van Rooyen, Matt Kuchar, Camilo Villegas, Justin Suh, Ryan Palmer, and Andrew Putnam. That was the best possible lineup that you could have put together for $50,000 or less. It scored 855 points. It cost Greg $46,200. The most expensive golfer was Justin Suh at $8,900.
We have never on this show talked about thinking about starting in the 8K range.
Thinking about starting the 8K range, Greg? You thinking about it? Like, that has never come out of my mouth.
I'm going to leave a couple of grand on the table.
Yeah.
Is that the lowest? I mean, do you have records of that?
Yeah, I've got to look through it. There has been a couple of that's kind of getting down towards the lowest. I don't know if there's ever been anything in like the $45,000. You get a couple of 46s, a couple of 47s. It's not that crazy. But that's very much skewing on the low end.
Whew. I mean, I don't even know how you would get yourself to fill out that lineup.
The part that I like about it is sometimes you'll see like a $46,000 lineup that maybe had the 10K guy who wins, and then like a bunch of 6K guys. This one did not have a golfer more expensive than $8,900.
No. And if you're going stars and scrubs, you paid the price.
Yeah, just go scrubs.
This is a scrub week.
Scrubs and scrubs.
I got another name for you here.
Yeah, I got a couple more. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to give you two at once.
Okay.
Ryan Moore and Russell Knox.
Oh, okay. I was doing a deep dive on Russell Knox earlier. Let's start with Ryan Moore.
Okay. Again, kind of golf course that this is a totally different style of golf course for him. All of a sudden, he can compete. He still hits it as straight as can be. I know you don't need that here, but he doesn't have any ball speed. He can't keep up on the PGA Tour because of his ball speed, yet he's able to finish tied 38th last week at the Shriners, able to finish T13. He can get extremely hot with the putter, and he's one of the best wedge players out here. So Ryan Moore, this is the difference with Harry Hall, who I just don't think Harry Hall is a very good ball striker. I think Ryan Moore is, but the golf courses are too long. You know, so he steps on the first tee at a disadvantage with his ball striking, but it's really quite good. Just he's not going to keep up with the guys he's playing against here. I think it holds up. And I look at his form and I think that is explained in the golf courses he competes at. I wouldn't be surprised to see a big uptick in performance out of him.
Russell Knox is the mystery man this week. Nothing about this profile makes any sense whatsoever. And I have gone, here's a pro. Yeah, well, here's a con. Well, here's a pro. Yeah, well, here's a con. So statistically, he has been basically inside the top 15 of strokes gained of anybody in this field. It's a very, very weak field for like the last 50 or 100 rounds. Now, despite that, he does not have any top finishes. He does not have a top 25 this calendar year.
The last one was the RSM Classic,
which is next
2022,
which is next week, is going to be the 1 year anniversary of that.
Yeah.
But he has been a fairly prolific approach player. The putter is not horrible, and his history here is some of the best history you can get. T11, T16, T12, T49. What in the wild world of Russell Knox is going on?
The finishing positions worry me.
They stink.
You know, right. And he does what's so important so well.
Which means the finishing positions have to be better, but they're not.
They're not. And so that's a little concerning to me. He's like maybe it's because he's so far back. He's hitting good shots from a long way back, and he doesn't have to hit them close to gain strokes.
Maybe he's having two good rounds and two bad rounds every single week. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? It's so strange. I spent so much time poring over this profile earlier because I couldn't believe what I was seeing, because when you look, and then he's been phenomenal here, and this would be a pretty good spot for him.
I can take finishing positions of recent form and kind of throw them away in a week like this.
He's a phenomenal wedge player. Phenomenal.
And that's going to get highlighted this week. And I don't think it gets highlighted most weeks. What's his driving distance? You just had his stats up there.
Distance, all drives, he's 180th, 280.
Yeah. Yeah, he's hitting at 280. That's the problem. So he is hitting the ball in the fairway or not into a position that is sometimes 40 yards behind guys. And he's hitting the green. Hits a ton of greens. Right, he is fourth on the PGA Tour in greens regulation.
Yeah.
So he's coming in with 5 irons and 6 irons and hitting the green and gaining strokes because he's coming in from 200 yards. But other guys are coming in from 140 yards.
Yeah, and you can see this. I mean, he is 16th in par 3 scoring and outside the top 100 in par 4 and par 5 scoring because he has to hit like a tee shot on those holes.
Well, and you got to make 3.0 is pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
In par 3 scoring. So, he's not giving himself putts for birdie. And then the putting, why is the putting not bad? Well, he's hitting it far enough away from the hole where you don't have to make them to gain strokes on these putts. So this is all a distance game. And here, I don't think it is. So I'm very much pro Russell Knox this week. I'm attracted every week because of the approach play. But I think this really makes sense.
It is just such an interesting situation. I actually wrote about him in my email newsletter, which will go out tomorrow. But this, I just could not believe. I'm glad you brought him up. It's such an interesting case study.
Yeah. I think we could see a top finish this week.
Matty Schmid, $7,700. Just quickly, he's been playing a global game. He finished runner up in Europe, I think 2 starts ago. Yeah, Andalusia Masters, which was the start before Cabo. So he played well there. And then I thought there was one other. He might be
quick on Matty Schmid.
Yes.
Is there another one in the 6K range as well?
There is a Matty Schwab.
Oh, Schwab. Oh, got it.
Here. There you go. If that's not confusing enough for you.
That's it.
There they both are. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was like, wait a second. I wrote down Matty Schmidt in the 7K range. And yeah. Now he's here in the, I get it. Yeah. My mistake.
All good. Austin Smotherman shot like a 64 on Sunday.
Yeah.
Finished T23 here last year. I think I'm kind of interested in that. And I thought there was one more. Maybe he's in the 6K range.
Smotherman T35 at the Shriners, T23 in Mayakoba. Pretty good stuff.
Pretty good stuff. All right. I think I'm done in this range.
Patton Kizzire.
Oh, yeah. He modeled out well for me. Let's see. Let's look up his profile because he, and I was like, I got to remember to look into. Yeah. 15th in Cabo. He's made three out of his last four cuts. That's pretty pale as well. Or he's getting closer to pale.
Yeah.
He had a stretch where it was pretty ugly for a while, but.
But, you know, the thing about him where he really starts to pop up is if you compare it to like the Sony Open. He's won there, tied 7th there, tied 13th there.
Yes.
What else would you compare this to? Pebble Beach?
Pebble, yeah. Or you could just like, yes, yeah, so you could either go like short, you know, short positional golf courses or something like that, which, I mean, there's a lot of what you could do. Coastal, or you could do Pebble's a good one. I mean, you could do Hilton Head. That's obviously just more positional. But if you just look at short golf courses, so like golf courses under 7,000 yards, I think you get to Patton Kizzire pretty quickly, if I'm not mistaken. But like some of the top players are Adam Scott, Lucas Herbert, Thomas Dietrich. There's Matty Schwab, the other one, $6,600. Yeah. So there are some guys that tend to thrive on shorter golf courses.
Yeah. So I think Kizzire could be one of them. And after last week, maybe a player of interest.
$6,000 range, Bryce Garnett, Harrison Endicott, amongst others, at 6,900. The middle, Kyle Westmoreland, Sung Kang, Trevor Cohn. The bottom, also George Brian is in this field. George Brian, Wes's brother, is 6,200. And Richard Johnson, Michael Sims, $6,000.
Big fan of Richard S. Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like the guy. It's a great golf swing. He's so fun. He was a member down at Medalist when I worked there and was on the range all the time. But he's never made a DFS lineup of mine. And I don't think it's going to start this week, unfortunately. He doesn't get the reps, you know, and he's dealt with some injuries. So no knock on him. But boy, this is a really tough range. It seems like we like the odd numbers.
Yeah. How about this? Okay. So this is another interesting profile. Brian Gay.
Yeah.
Who's now mostly playing on the Champions Tour, playing a lot on the Champions Tour. So his last handful of Champions Tour results, T11, T5, 10th, 14th, 30th, T12. Those are all great. Here's his last handful of PGA Tour results. Miscut, miscut, miscut. Miscut, miscut. Here's his history in Bermuda. 11th, 12th, win, and third. You want to try to decipher that?
Riddle me that. I mean, if you need a 6K guy, 6K guys generally aren't very... There's usually not 6K chalk. Would you agree with that?
Generally, yeah.
There might be 6K chalk here. Because, I mean, there's nothing to look at, but there's nothing to look at in... anybody in the 6K range. So course history is a great place to go. And I'm fine with taking a shot for another year for him, like you are with Harry Hall. I think it can make sense. He loves the place and he's a great player, but he's in the Russell Knox camp. He's too far back to compete. It affects all of his stats.
The thing that I find interesting, I find that he's probably just outclassed in these PGA Tour events, but it's not like he's playing poor golf. He's contending on the tour that he generally resides on, which I think is a good, it's not like he's losing to everybody.
And a 6,800 yard golf course.
Yeah.
Right. There are guys that are bad ball strikers because they're dumping it in the bunker with a wedge in their hand because they're hitting it into penalty areas. They're spraying it all over the place. Right. That's one kind of bad ball striking. Another is, okay, I'm hitting three woods into par fours, and other guys are hitting nine irons. And that's those are no longer birdie opportunities. I think three wood may be a little extreme, but Brian Gay's kind of in that camp where you got to lean heavily on the short game and the putting if you're going to even make a cut.
Satoshi Kodaira is usually a guy you fire up on like these short wedge fests because he's one of the best wedge players on tour, but he just cannot putt. So he does half of the two things that I need. He only does one of them.
I don't fire him up anywhere.
It saves you money. Trust me.
His name always catches my eye because I know he's a big, people love him in the fantasy community, and I can't get there. I wrote down two other names.
Okay.
And I'd probably rather play Brian Gay, quite frankly.
Okay.
David Lingmerth. I don't know why. You can look.
Just see about Lingmerth? I'm going to check to make sure he didn't withdraw. I might just be thinking of somebody else's name, but I saw right before we fired this up. Let me just check. No, I think we're good.
All right.
Yeah,
we're good. Well, make sure there's no O next to his name before you play.
He's in. I must have been thinking about somebody else.
And Jason Duffner.
Oh, Duff Daddy. Is it Duff Daddy season?
It could be. I mean, it's just Duffner.
Oh man. Look at his. I mean, I don't know much about Union Home Mortgage, but when that's on your like chess sponsor, I'm not sure things are going great.
Rick, he's doing fine.
I'll take that back. This show
for Duffnering.
This show will be sponsored by Union Home Mortgage. Sure. Mortgage rates are on an all-time high. Maybe they can help us out.
Right. Great time to be in that business.
The stat profile is actually not bad for Duffner.
No, it's quite good. And again, another. See, this is the thing. I want to make this very clear, because I've named off a bunch of guys who can't compete on a regular basis because of distance. That doesn't mean I prefer shorter hitters this week. The only thing that means is I believe these guys are playing better than their profile says. And the reason is the distance. And the distance is not a requirement here. Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me, for sure.
It's not like go get all the short hitters, but when you're down in the 6K range and nobody's making a cut and nobody is putting a green square in any of the categories on rickrungood.com, instead of throwing dice, maybe we can reason our way through how somebody is missing the cut or finishing tied 59th or tied 66th or tied 45th, which are the last two finishes for Jason Duffner.
There was a question in the chat from DB in regards to, hold on, let me pop my collar for this, Camilo Villegas. And if you're interested in going back to Villegas off of a runner-up finish last week in Cabo, his best finish on the PGA Tour in quite some time.
Oh, I am a huge fan and certainly rooting, but doesn't it kind of feel like chasing a little bit?
Yes. 100%. It's just, I mean, right. Remove the fact that I hope he runs away and wins this thing by 10 shots. Just looking at the history that we have on him for the past couple of years, the lightning in a bottle was last week. Very unlikely that happens again.
It's, I guess chasing points is another fantasy football term we can throw in there. Chasing the points of last week. I don't want to do it. And I don't want to let emotions impact the buttons that I push.
Okay. Speaking of football, Josh, you can drop my screen out. I think we're done talking about golf here. A little bit of breaking news, Greg. As I'm sure you are aware, the New York Jets, Jets are playing on Monday Night Football if you're watching live in about 2 hours from now.
Yes.
A tweet just came out of some warmups, and Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball about 50 yards in the air during warmups right now. And we are about 2 months removed from his Achilles injury.
Torn Achilles.
and preceding surgery. Yes.
I mean, that has been like a...
he got surgery, right? He didn't try to like do it himself. Okay.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me.
I know. That's why I had to actually confirm that he had the surgery.
Yeah. I mean, they reported that he had the surgery. That's true. I was not there.
Was he vaccinated or was he, what's the word?
Immunized.
Immunized. Yes. Did he have surgery or was he repaired or was he, who knows, actually?
That whole thing is insane. If you wanted to, and I, quite frankly, don't care enough to go down this rabbit hole. But if you wanted to go full on tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, you could have a field day with this one.
He is he not human? Like what? Like how? Why?
Well, apparently they did some new kind of surgery.
Sure.
Why not? There was a new technique in the way that they sewed the tendon together that allowed for stronger, faster healing. I'll say this. There was a time where an ACL injury was a career ender.
Mm-hmm.
Never recovered. And once it happened again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like you miss the rest of the year. You come back and you might be better. Adrian Peterson was the first guy that I remembered doing that.
Yes.
And then everybody came back like that.
Tommy John surgery is kind of the same way. It's like, you got a new arm, sick.
Yeah, it's you miss a lot of time. It takes time to recover, but it doesn't have the like. Are the we Giants like, had a guy, Jason Sehorn? You remember Jason Sehorn?
Yeah,
he tore. I think it was an ACL, and it ended his career. And I remember talking to my dad about it. You tear these ligaments, you lose a step, and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the case anymore.
Are we like 50 years away from an ACL injury being like a day-to-day injury? Like, oh, I tore his ACL, but we'll check in at the end of the week.
Like concussions now?
Yeah, he's just like, he's trending towards being
good to go. Good to go.
Friday.
I don't know. Could you just replace the tendon? Is there some technology where you just have a new tendon that, it's hard to imagine.
Maybe they'll just do entire leg replacements. Just like F1. Take that leg off. Put this one on. You're good to go.
In game.
He's out for the first half. We'll be back after halftime. We got it. It takes a couple minutes. It
takes about 20 minutes. He should be back for the final drive.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
That's wild.
All right. Well, good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Chargers, right? I almost called them the San Diego Chargers. That's not correct anymore. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we will cover, I guess, whatever Aaron Rodgers is up to, and also the Bermuda Championship with a mega preview pod on Tuesday and a Sunday recap episode. But for now, I want to give a big thanks to producer Josh, who does all the hard work behind the scenes. Greg Ducharme is available on Twitter at TheRealGFD, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.